Notice with me as we turn to John chapter 16, the first six verses of this evening. I'm going to title this message from what we get from the first verse as Be Not Offended. Beginning in verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you that when the time shall come, you may remember that I have told you of them, and these things I said not unto you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goeth thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your hearts. Heavenly Father, we ask tonight, as we've asked many times, your blessings, your anointing upon the reading of thy Holy Scripture. Father, we pray tonight for the leading of thy Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray tonight, Lord, that you would speak to us from this text. Lord, help us not to miss anything as we go through these very important passages. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen, and you may be seated. With the Upper Room Discourse, I've been quite encouraged with the number of people that, from our website and sermon audio, that has been listening to these. We've had more listen to these sermons than any thing else since we've started it. And I'm delighted in that, because we've had some titles of other sermons that, you know, somebody said, well, I'm really interested, you know, maybe in that particular subject. But for folks to come to this passage here, as we've been doing, and just working our way through it, these are real good practical things that we need in our Christian life. Now, last week, we closed out chapter 15, verse 26 and 27. Verse 26 spoke of the testimony of the Spirit of God. And verse 27 spoke of the testimony of the apostles. Now, tonight, as we come here to begin this chapter, we see the focus is on the opposition that the apostles would encounter from the religious world. And we actually seen some of this in chapter 15, verses 18 through 21. If we were to divide this chapter, and as we begin it, I'll just give you somewhat of an outline to it. In verse 1 through 6, we see Christ warning of oppositions. In verses 7 through 12, we'll be back on the subject of the Holy Spirit. And in verses 7 through 12, we find the Spirit's ministry to the unbeliever, to the world. Then in verses 13 through 15, we see the Spirit's ministry to the believer, to you and I. Again, as we've already seen twice in our study, we find that the Spirit of truth, when He's come, He'll guide you into all truth. And then in verses 16 through 28, we find the disciples' pain and the Lord's comfort to them. And then verse 29 through 33, we see here the victory of the Son of God. And that's sort of probably the way that we'll divide this chapter. Now notice in verse 1, we find here in verse 1, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended." Now again, in chapter 15, verses 18 through 21, he said, "And if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were all the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore if the world hateth you. Remember the word that I saith unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." Now, it could sound like that I love all the passages that speak of pain and suffering and persecution. But this is the way the Bible is written, so I have not chosen, any passages. We've went from verse to verse spending time on this. So as we look at this, these things in verse 1 of chapter 16 would have to do with the warning and encouragement that the Lord had just given them. The warning was in chapter 15, verses 18 through 20. The encouragement was in chapter 15, verses 26 and 27 that we covered last week, that the Comforter would come. The warning and the encouragement. They would be hated by the world. They'd be persecuted. We're going to read now that they'll put you out of their synagogues. But he also says in chapter 15 and chapter 16 that the Comforter is going to come to you, which will bring to you the truth. It's called the Spirit of Truth. And so there's a dual thought as we come into this text as well. Now notice as we come to this passage, he says in verse 1, "These things have I spoken to you that you should not be offended." So the Lord has spoken to them about the world hating them, the persecution, the opposition, and he's also spoken to them about the comfort and encouragement through the Holy Spirit. And the word offended here, and I'm going to give you a little bit more definition on that in a moment, but basically when we come to this word, this presents the ideal of stumbling because of some obstacle that would be put in our path or in our way. The word offended here has the ideal of stumbling or a stumbling block. And it has the ideal to put a snare or a stumbling block in the way whereby somebody would trip over that. And in the New Testament, the word offend or offended is basically used most of the time metaphorically. And in this passage, it's used that way. Now think about this, verse 1 again, "These things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended." By knowing these truths, you say, what are these truths? Again, that they would be opposed by the world, but they would be comforted by God. So by knowing these truths, that the Lord would be with them in by the Spirit, they would not stumble or they would not fall. They would not be offended as the world opposed them and rejected them. That's the thought as you come into this chapter. And we should not be easily offended as Christians. Sometimes we are. We should not take things personal, and we do, when people oppose us. We've all done it. It's very easy to take things personal. But here's the thing. We already have been told in chapter 15 is that they hate Christ. And because of our affiliation with Christ, that we would be hated as well. And so really, we should not be easily offended when we're opposed. Sometimes it gets irritating because I deal with it on a regular basis. And we should not take it personal, and sometimes I do take it personal. I take it sometimes as a personal attack, and it's not a personal attack. It's an attack on the Savior, and we're just standing between them and the Savior. We're representing them. So we should not be offended easily or take things personally. What we should do is we should consider all these things with maturity and understanding. That's what he's trying to get across to these disciples. He's saying, this is going to happen. And he says, but I'm going to be with you in spirit. I'm going to send the Comforter, and to be with you, he says, these things are going to happen. So he says in chapter 16, verse 1, "These things have I spoken to you that you should not be offended." Now watch verse 2. "They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, and the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." So he said, these things are going to come. We know that as we start reading through the book of Acts, we know the opposition, the jail time, the threats, and we know that Stephen, he wasn't one of the 12, but Stephen was killed in Acts 7. And then we know that the church is being persecuted. James was killed in chapter 12, and the story goes on. So they encountered the very things that the Lord had spoken to them about. But he says in verse 1, these things, this truth now that he's given them, he said, these things have I spoken to you that ye be not offended. Notice a few verses on this word. Notice with me in Matthew, reading in chapter 13, this word offended. In Matthew chapter 13, reading in verse 18. This is the parable of the sower. And you'll notice with me in chapter 13, beginning in verse 18 through about verse 21. And he says here in verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. Notice in verse 20, but he that receiveth the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon, that means straightway, with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation and persecution, isn't that not what the Lord has been telling his disciples? These are coming. When tribulation and persecution arises because of what? The word. Not because they just don't like us. But because of the word, he said, by and by, that means immediately, he is offended. Notice with me also, notice in Matthew 11, Matthew 11 and verse, one verse, Matthew chapter 11, and in verse 6, he said, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And then notice in John chapter 6, we find in John chapter 6, the Lord is preaching, and we find as he speaks to the people, they say, and I'm going to tell you what this he said in just a moment, but verse 60, they say, verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doeth this offend you? And what he's been saying in this text, he's been saying in verse 48, I am the bread of life. Verse 51, I am the living bread. In verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Then he speaks of eternal life in verse 54. In other words, he's trying to show them that they must believe on him with all their heart. And they understand what he's saying, but they say this is a hard thing. And Jesus said, are you offended? And then we come to verse 63, and he said, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, their spirit and their life. He said, but there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believe not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of the Father. And from that time, notice this, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? And that's when Simon Peter said in verse 68, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So there are those in this passage when the Lord got down to serious teachings of the Word of God. There are those that said, oh, this is a hard saying. They were offended, and then they went and turned their backs on the Lord and walked no more with him. They became offended at the word of God. And that's exactly what 1 Peter chapter 2, I believe it's verse 8, says that many stumbled at the word, at the words of the Lord Jesus. Turn me to another passage in the Old Testament in Psalms 119, a very familiar passage. Psalms 119, I'm reading one verse, 165. Most of you can probably quote this, but notice as we come to this passage. So the Lord is just preparing His disciples, and we can take note of this and really learn a lot from it, not to be easily offended and not to take things personal when people oppose us. And again, you got to work on that, and you got to be walking in the Spirit and be filled with the Spirit to be able to do that. We find in Psalms 119, verse 165. Now this word offend, again, it means to stumble, to fall, or to sin. It has the ideal of being upset or disturbed or discouraged, to be hindered or displeased. In other words, we can get displeased and discouraged with the things of this world and the opposition of this world that comes against us. And the Lord is encouraging His disciples, saying, no, get a hold of the Word, be filled with the Spirit, you know, follow Him, and this will not happen to you. Now notice this in Psalms 119. I'm reading one verse, 165. He doesn't just say peace, He said great peace. How they which love thy law. Now notice the last phrase, and we got an entire message on this titled Great Peace, if you want to listen to it sometime. He said, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know what that means? Nothing shall offend them. It's what we're talking about. Be not offended. In other words, we find that nothing will cause them to stumble or fall or become disheartened or give up the faith or unbelief or so forth. That's what that means. And now turn with me to Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah and chapter 28. So when we consider the passage that we just read, a wonderful passage, great peace, have they which love thy law. There's three thoughts in this verse. Great peace that we can have if we love His law. And then he says, and nothing shall offend them. In other words, nothing will cause them to stumble. No stumbling stone that can be put in their path will cause them to trip over that. They shall have no stumbling block to fall on. In other words, they shall have no circumstance that will hurt them. And they shall have freedom from temptation and be overcomers. That's what he's saying in the passage. They shall leap over obstacles. And there'll always be obstacles put in our path. And they shall not fall into unbelief and utter ruin. And this is the key to our peace and our sanity as we walk through a world that's insane. And so those who walk in the love of God's law and nothing shall offend them, they shall not be disturbed in mind and heart. Now again, that's got to be worked on. It just don't happen. You just don't wake up in the morning and say, okay, that's going to be my thoughts. It's got to be worked on. You know, salvation is free. Everything else, everything else is earned. You don't learn anything unless you read the Bible. You don't have communion with God unless you pray. God doesn't speak to us unless we, by His Spirit, listen to His Word. So everything else, it takes effort. Now notice with me as we come to the book of Isaiah, reading one verse in this chapter. And this, I'm tying this together because I think this verse fits. In Isaiah chapter 28, I'm going to read one verse, and that's verse 16. And this is a prophecy of Christ. This is messianic, Isaiah 28, verse 16. He said, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. Now, we've got a message and an article on the chief cornerstone. So you can start in Genesis 49 and Psalms 18 and Isaiah and Daniel chapter 2. Let's see, Matthew 21. Somebody help me out. Acts chapter 4, Romans 9, the last few verses, Romans 10, about verse 11, 12, and 13, 1 Peter chapter 2 deals with this stone. This is an amazing subject. But notice he lays this stone in Zion. This is Christ. And he goes on to say that it is a tried stone. It was tried by the devil, and it was tried by the people, the Romans and the Jews. And he says also it is a precious cornerstone. And then notice he says it is a sure foundation, as in 2 Timothy 2:19. But notice the last statement. The last statement, he says, and he that believeth shall not make haste. In other words, he that believeth shall not be shaken. He that believeth shall not take flight when trouble comes, and shall not be ashamed or doubt or be offended. And when we bring that into the New Testament, we see that that's what this passage is saying, because in 1 Peter 2:6, those who believe shall not be confounded. That is, they'll not be confused or offended or doubt. And then in Romans 9:32 and 33, they shall not be ashamed. But then in Romans 10:11, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Isn't that the thought we've got in John chapter 16? Notice as we go back to John chapter 16, and notice here, reading in verse 1 again, he says here in verse 1, he said, these things have I spoken to you that you should not be offended. The Lord doesn't want his disciples to be stumbling in view of circumstances. He doesn't want them to fall into unbelief when they have the oppositions and they're threatened and they're told that, the people don't like them and they're put in jail or they're all of these things. He's wanting them to walk in faith, trusting him, and not to be offended or stumbling, or to fall into unbelief. Now notice as we come to chapter 2, or verse 2 rather, he said, and they shall put you out of the synagogues. Now notice that, I'm going to deal with the latter part of this in just a moment, but notice they shall put you out of the synagogues. It's an amazing statement. And there's two passages I'll give you with this, and one is chapter 9, verse 22, and this would be the parents, I believe, of the blind young man that was healed. And it actually says here, it says, in these words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. And so when they came and asked the parents, who healed this man, the parents said, go ask him. He's an adult. And the reason was because of the fear. But also in chapter 12, you could write down verse 42 and verse 43. It said, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. So, think about this in the light of some places that we know around the world, maybe not here in America, but some places around the world. There's many around the world that if they believe on Christ and confess Christ and walk according to the Word of God, they're disowned by their country, sometimes their family, and the majority of the religious people in that country. And so that's what we see here in verse 2. And they shall put you out of the synagogues. Shall put you out of the synagogues. In other words, this would have been painful for a Jew who had strong ties to his nation. And in this case, a Jew, they were the covenant people of God. So what he's saying here is that this, they will be persecuted by religious people. Think about the Jews, the nation. That was their religion. The economy they lived in, everything. That was everything, their family, everything. The covenant nation of Israel. And so this would be quite devastating to someone. And if they were put out of if you're put out of the synagogues, that'd be like being put out of church and couldn't go to another one. And you couldn't go to the temple worship and all those kind of things. You would be excommunicated from the nation and the social life and economic life. In other words, you would be disowned by your own nation, who had originally had the Word of God and the things, the promises of God and the services of God. But he not only says that, he says in verse 2, "And they shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, and the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service." That's some strong words. That word service, I believe, is the same Greek word as worship. They'll think they're worshiping God. So this is done by religious people for religious reasons. And of course, they're blinded. He says in verse 3, he said, "And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me." Now, we have one really good example in the scriptures of this. Turn with me to Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, and notice here. Again, I know of many countries, and I've talked to many people over the years, that they cannot confess Christ openly. Someone I talked with a few months ago, this was true. That was from another country. I can't remember which country now. And this was true. They could not confess. Their family, their nation, their community would completely disown them. You go back during the Catholic Inquisition around the 13th century. Again, the Catholic Church had persecuted. They had persecuted people. To try to enforce their laws, to give up what they believed and to be conformed unto them. I don't know if I've told you this or not, but a number of years ago, I think it's the first year or so that we started this church. That'd be nearly 29 years ago, 28, 29 years. There's a friend of mine in Louisiana, Denham Springs, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He had a Catholic Bible. And I'd never heard of this before, seen this, but in this particular Bible, in the back of this Bible, there were several pages. There was a section that whereby that they admitted that they persecuted and even talked about some of the ways they persecuted. This was in the Catholic Bible. I took the opportunity to show that to some Catholics, you know, that I knew, and because some would deny it. And I said, no, this stuff is true. This is true. And you got it in your own Bible that your church did it. Something wrong with that. Amen? Well, this is what was going to take place here in the first century. It already was taking place. But this is what the apostles were going to be going through. And as we read through the book of Acts, we see this. But let me use one man for an example. We could find others here in the scriptures, especially if we went to the Pharisees, scribes, Sadducees, the lawyers. But let's use Saul of Tarsus. Let's just use him. And what I'm going to do, we'll be back in this just a little bit in our section in Galatians. We're getting to that point where the Apostle Paul speaks of how he persecuted the church. But there's so many times that he speaks of this. And Saul of Tarsus, he was a persecutor of God's people, but he thought he was right. He thought he was honoring God and honoring his nation. And he thought he was doing the right thing. I mean, he wasn't just trying to kill to be killed. He thought he was pleasing God. And so after his conversion, then he was persecuted by some of the same people that he was working with and persecuting the people of God. Notice in Acts chapter 7, this is Stephen. And I'm just going to kind of cut into each one of the texts for time's sake. But in Acts chapter 7, you'll notice with me, as I began reading along about verse 56, and it says here, "And said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not their sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. By the way, I never thought about this before. Stephen obeyed Acts 16, even though he wasn't one of the 12. He wasn't offended. He's praying for the persecutors. That's big. That's big. And then notice in chapter 8, and Saul was consenting unto his death. Don't you know that state in his mind until we get to Acts 9 and he is converted? Here you're killing a man and he's praying for you that God wouldn't lay it to his charge. And he says here, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, notice he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then it speaks of Philip in the next passage. Notice in chapter 26, if you're taking notes, you can write down Acts 22, verse 4 and 5. But notice Acts chapter 26, Paul had gave his testimony several times. In Acts chapter 26, I'm reading here from along about verse 9. This is not verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Which things also did I in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. In verse 12, he went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest. So he was a religious man persecuting the people of God. And here's some of the others if you just want to write these down. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 9, the Apostle Paul makes this statement. He said, I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. He says in Galatians chapter 1, again, we'll be in that study not too long from now, but he said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, he said, for you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how beyond measure persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my fathers. He also says in Philippians chapter 3, reading verse 6, he mentions this many times. He says in Galatians 3 and verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law of blameless. He thought he was serving God. And then one other time, you can write this down, 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 and in verse 15, he says, who was before a blasphemer, persecutor and jurist, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Then in verse 15, he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Listen, how many know what the last of that is? Of whom I am chief. I mean, he confessed his sins before God and men and got those things right, but he was a persecutor and thought he was doing God a favor. And then after his conversion, he was persecuted by the same religious crowd. And you say, well, the Romans put him to death. They did, but who turned him over to the Romans originally? See? Now, notice back in John chapter 16, let's finish this up. We're reading from verse 1 again. These things have I spoken to you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, and the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you. Now, here's the reason. This is Paul's problem. Did not understand the Father or the Son before he was saved. He said, because they have not known the Father nor me. Three verses I'll give you to jot down. Romans 10:3. 1 Corinthians 2:8. And 1 Timothy 1:13. Now notice in verse 4, 5, and 6, he wanted them to remember something. He wanted them to remember his words, because they're desperately going to need these words after that Christ dies, is raised from the dead, and ascends back into heaven. They're going to need this. Verse 4, 5, and 6. He says here, but these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things said not unto you, these things I rather said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you askest me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. And he's going to deal with this sorrow again as we get on down into the chapter. Would you stand with me tonight? Father, we do thank thee for thy word, thy dwelling Holy Spirit. We thank you for the Savior who came to the cross to die for our sins. Lord, we thank thee for the salvation that you've given to us. Lord, help us to serve you and to be faithful. And Lord, that we would not be offended when those oppose you as we stand as representatives, Lord, that we would not be offended, that this would not cause us to stumble, to be discouraged, to be disquieted. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that we would walk in wisdom and in truth and in the filling of thy Holy Spirit. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.